A few weeks ago, when we had one of our second Sunday services, where our children and young people went out into the hall, out there they had that cross, and they were writing down and pinning to it various things that were on their hearts and minds at the time. Things that they were worried about, so tests, SAT results, being alone, being left out. All sorts of burdens were being written down, thought about, prayed about, and then laid on the cross, because the cross is where we can come and lay our burdens down. So I want to use this cross again this morning. I'd like to bring it out into the center so that we can all see it and know that this is the place where we can lay our burdens. So, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. It's not coming. Could I have some help, please? Would there be some people who might like to help me carry it? You're going to do it? Oh, gosh. Here we go. We've got one. There you go. You're stronger than the vicar. Thank you very much. Been upstaged again. But the cross is somewhere where we can come and where we can lay our burdens. This week coming is quite a big event for many children and young people as they're going back to school. Some are even starting school for the first time. Some people will be starting at new schools. Some people might be starting nursery. Some people might be going into reception. Some people might even be going to university or going off to college or all sorts of other bits and pieces to start learning. And it's a big step. It's often a time when people get extremely worried, not just parents and carers, but young people as well. It's moving on to a next step in education is always quite a difficult and daunting prospect. So, this week, if you are going to school, if you're going to nursery, if you're going to reception, or if you're doing some sort of education, would you like to put your hand up? We've got several hands going up. Quite a few people going back to school this week, these hands going up. And so I would like to pray for you now. Loving God, we know that taking first steps and next steps can be a difficult and daunting process. We pray for all those who are going back to school and into education this week. We ask you, Lord, to be with them, to bless them. May they always know that the cross is the place where they can come and lay their burdens down on you. So your blessing on our young people, their teachers, and their parents. For all families, we pray today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And our prayer group shared something with me this morning. There was a picture of like a clear dome over the earth. And God was just saying, I've got it covered. That's quite a wonderful vision. Whatever our worries are, God has always got it covered. Sometimes we don't always respect that or even understand it, but whatever our troubles are, we can always come to the cross and we can lay our burdens down. And Jesus says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Now, I don't always start preaches with a joke. But let's see what this one does. There was a story of a holy rabbi who went to the barber's to get a haircut. And he was all trimmed and happy. And when he went to pay the barber wouldn't take his money. No, rabbi, said the barber, I never accept money from the clergy. And the following morning, as the barber arrived to open his shop, there on the step was a huge bag of delicious bagels. few days later, a Catholic priest came along for a haircut. And at the end, again, the barber wouldn't take his money. "No, Father," he said, "I never accept money from the clergy." And there, on the following morning, there on the step of his shop, the barber found a large bottle of whiskey. And then a few more days went by, and this time an Anglican vicar came and had a haircut. And coming to pay, he was told by the barber, "No, Reverend, I never take money from the clergy." And the very next morning, the barber turned up at his shop to find an enormous queue of Anglican vicars. Now, I've got no wish to attempt to defend Anglican clergy, of course, but one point in that vicar's favour is that he clearly shared his joyful story, and his rough-haired fellows were clearly eager to follow and rejoice with him in his rejoicing. St. Paul encourages the people of Rome to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, and I wonder, which do we find easier in our discipleship alongside others? Is it easier to rejoice, or is it easier to weep? So much of being alongside people is about listening to people's stories, the stories of their lives. And that's one of the great privileges that I have as a serving minister, to draw alongside people, to learn more about them. And our lives are shaped quite often by the stories that we tell. We've all got different backgrounds, we've all got different experiences, and we've all got a different story to tell. And sometimes just hearing those stories gives a fascinating insight into other people's worlds and just gives me a sense of how they operate or how they tick or just some of the things, some of the wonderful things that God has done in people's lives. Some of the stories are told that are stories of rejoicing, and of course some are less happy, the stories of those who weep. I've sat with people coming to the end of their lives as they've shared their life story. I've counseled people in different kinds of trouble as they've shared their stories and their hopes and their desperations. Life shared with each other is a wonderful, wonderful thing. We weep with those who weep, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. And this morning in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is looking towards Jerusalem. He's finally contemplating the way of the cross, his point of suffering, ultimately leading to his rising in glory. And Jesus now directs his disciples' gaze towards Jerusalem as he calls them and calls us as well to take up our cross, to bear all things, let go all things, and use the cross to be lifted to the fullness of life. That's a calling to come and follow Jesus, to be his learners, to be his disciples, even to be his students or pupils, to be the disciples of Christ. But discipleship often comes at a great cost. Paul, writing to the Romans, gives a challenging but uplifting blueprint for Christian living. It's a kind of pattern for discipleship, if you like. Paul speaks of various virtues that we have to work at, things we're called to live out in the extraordinary and the ordinary points in our lives. Love, patience, and perseverance are Paul's three straplines. And the better we are at working at those virtues, says Paul, the more we're going to stand out from the society that's around us, and the more we'll probably be disliked for actually standing up for what we believe. We'll even get to the point where we could become ridiculed and persecuted for our faith in the cross. Discipleship isn't easy. Like going back to school, it takes a great deal of courage. And we know that at points in our lives, we've all struggled with our discipleship in different ways. Last week at our family service, we suddenly heard that Peter recognized Jesus for who he really was, the Messiah. But this time, Peter's getting a bit overexcited, and he tries to help Jesus to become some kind of Messiah. But Peter is trying to shape Jesus into the kind of Messiah that Peter wants Jesus to be. And in one breath, Peter moves from being the rock to suddenly being the sand. He becomes the stumbling block. Satan, even in Jesus' harsh rebuke, as he too struggles, perhaps with the cost of holding fast in his relationship with God. We know that God's way is to bring life and love, but it can only be done by Jesus' use of his power to love, but also to endure. And we then have to follow, to imitate Jesus' pattern in our own lives. Jesus says to us who are his disciples or his pupils that we've got to take up our own cross. Not his cross, not our neighbor's cross, but our own cross. And that cross comes with our unique burdens, our fears, our worries, our anxieties. But it requires giving everything to God. Take up your cross, Jesus says, and follow me. Follow me in the way of discipleship to Jerusalem. Follow me, says Jesus, to the place where you can give up your sufferings and your failings, your fears and your anxieties. Follow me, says Jesus, to the very place where we give ourselves completely to God. Discipleship means that sometimes we have to let go of things, the stumbling blocks in the path, the things that don't quite work, the things that keep us from traveling on the straight road towards Jerusalem. Sometimes we just have to give it to God and hope that God will say to us, actually, I've got this. Sometimes we just have to allow God to be God. Life of faith, the Christian journey, is an open-ended adventure with the God who loves us, who wants the best for us, but also wants us to be transformed into the holy people that God is calling us to be. In carrying our cross, letting go our weeping to God, we are transformed, we're renewed, we rejoice in the fullness of life. In the cross, we accept God's love for us, and we turn to the freedom to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. The world around us will see God's grace worked out in the compassion we display in God's name in our discipleship to the world around us. In our worship together, in our weeping, and in our rejoicing together, in the mutual love that we share as sisters and brothers in Jesus, God's grace will be worked out. Our stories are unique, but our stories are also unfinished. The book is still being written. And even as we come to the end, we can look forward to eternal life in hope and in faith. The great unending adventure of discipleship is lived through that profound desire that we should have to make the whole of our lives draw towards something that is beyond ourselves and which gives meaning, the other person that we love and the God that we seek to love. And we do that day by day in the ordinary and the extraordinary, working things out together as disciples of Jesus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.